So today, as Miss Lisa said, I'm moving on to prayer. Wow, what the excitement is in this room is just palpable this morning. It's amazing. Woo-wee. So if you would throw the slide I have to get us going today to talk about prayer, what you see on the slide are different ways of praying, right? So, and I would imagine that if you've ever been a part of a church service or a group of people that have been praying, it might have had some kind of semblance to this. So like in one picture, right, you have a group of folks holding hands, praying together. Others that are, you know, it's probably worship, you know, but that, you know, the saying goes, he who praises, prays twice, right? You know, have you ever heard the old saying that he who sings praise actually prays twice, right? So, which I love that. I think it's wonderful. And then we've got the one in the middle, which looks like potentially a chaplain with some military personnel, and they're having worship time together and prayer. And in the bottom corner, you've got what may be a pastor or an elder who is anointing someone. I don't know for what, but they are as an act of prayer and consecration of setting that person aside and asking the Holy Spirit to be on them. And then the other corner, you have, a gentleman who appears to be, you know, hands held out there, and somebody's praying for him, and others are gathered around in that sense of community, which is something I want us to recognize, that prayer is something that is to be done, not just personally. We have the privilege to do that, but it's something that we get the privilege to do as a community, right, as a church family. And I wanted to highlight that in these pictures. So what is prayer? I picked this topic, and then I was reading a biography on Dietrich Bonhoeffer, which I've started. And in there was a little line this week. I saw it this week, and I was a little overwhelmed when I even, you know, read that the theologian Dietrich Bonhoeffer was understanding prayer as one of those great, deep questions that's so hard to answer. And I thought, well, I've got my work cut out for me this Sunday. This is going to be fun. So be patient with me, because there's so much that we could talk about when it comes to prayer, and specifically, like, the why do we pray? But you might notice I'm going to sort of direct our attention into kind of one particular area today. But anyhow, let's start, though, with just trying to answer, well, what is prayer? And I think, well, if we just keep it as simple as possible, perhaps we could say that it is the act of communicating, conversing with God. Maybe it's just kind of simplest way. Not just me telling God, I need this, but it's also taking the time to listen and how the Lord may speak back to me and when and how that may happen and as a part of my life. Because here's what I find is that, and maybe you know about this too. I have prayed and I'm sitting there waiting and I'm like, I can hear crickets, God. Like, I'm not really hearing, like, God's saying something back to me. But then later, something is maybe impressed upon my heart or my mind, or it's though this still small voice sort of speaks a word to me or kind of guides me or nudges or kicks me in the seat in response to something that I had been praying about. And I want you to imagine in this thing that we're talking about, prayer as a conversation, let's say that you had somebody that was a friend of yours or a neighbor, a coworker, and you said, hey, would you want to come to church with me this Sunday? And they come, and they've never been, and they are looking around, because you know how it is, right? When you've never been somewhere, you're like super attentive to what's going on around you, and they're hearing like me or Wayne or Leslie Butch or whoever praying, and at different times, they're praying about different stuff, and it's like, well, what are they talking about, and why are they really doing this? They seem to know what they're doing, but I don't know if I really understand what they're doing. What would they hear us talking about when we pray? And how might we be listening to God speak back to us as we pray and after we have prayed? Like, what might that person, what might they hear us praying about? So I thought about our church services, and I thought, well, some of the things that, like, we've prayed about. And I thought, well, one of the things that I know of our worship team, like when they get together and pray before service and at the beginning of the service too, is just at times just saying, Holy Spirit, would you be present with us as we worship God today in this place? Would you make this place holy by your presence? Because you're the only one that makes something holy. It's not me. It's you. It's your presence. And then they just, in response, just have, kind of this attitude of just saying, okay, God, I just welcome you here. And then as we worship, just this sense that, man, I just want to listen to people sing and they're praying. And if I, you know, manage to bring a good sermon, it may feel like God has just been with us today in this, like he really honored this prayer. And then there's times where they go, okay, well, I think there's, so it praises God, right? And it's just like, praise God from whom all blessings flow. I'm not going to sing the doxology or anything. And just telling him, God, thank you for all the things that you have so blessed me with in my life. Usually there's a method to my madness. Just stick around. You may figure it out. I haven't yet figured it out, but it might come together for you. And that, you know, and then just sort of that listening, that sense of maybe just God saying, you're welcome because I love you. I care about you. I want you to be blessed. And I thought there's times we have people that are sick and they're hurting. And so what do? Like, we're praying for them. We're saying, God, help them. They are in a world of hurt. And if you don't somehow intervene in this, it's going to be a disaster. Or maybe it already is. Like, you, Obi-Wan, your only hope, you know, like for the Star Wars fans. Like, God, you are our hope. We so need you right now. And just waiting on God to respond. Asking God, would you help this poor preacher have wisdom today to teach and share with your people? And then just listening to whatever wisdom God would bring out of the words that are spoken from the scriptures. And when we get to the end of the service, we're going out those doors, and it's like we're going out into the mission world, right? And we're going, hey, Holy Spirit, here we go. Please lead the way and do some things that are amazing because I want to be a part of what you're doing out there. Go with us. And then just listening as when you then go to lunch and you have the, maybe that opportunity to minister to someone, encourage them. And the Lord's like, all right, I answered your prayer. Here you go. Batter's up. What are you going to do with the moment, right? That's kind of the rhythm we think of prayer, like what we do in a service. And as we pray that God is to speak back to us, sometimes in the service, but then sometimes too beyond the service. Like he's like, you prayed it, but you listen to me and you watch me and I'm going to answer your prayer. And I may answer your prayer in a way that you didn't even see coming. So you just be patient and remember what you prayed for. And you'll see that I'm faithful to answer the prayers of my people. Reminds me of the old story. Oh, geez. It reminds me of the old story of a young boy who was in church and he was acting up. And as kids, we probably never acted up in church, but he's acting up and his dad's getting frustrated and his dad's had enough because no matter what he does, he can't keep his boy from just causing a ruckus. And so he just picks the boy up and he just starts to walk him out to the back of the church. And as he does, his old boy just kind of turns around and pipes up to everybody else. And in that moment with this just passion in his voice just says, y'all pray for me now, right? Woo! All right, that's the best joke I got for today. So why should we pray as a church? If it's really just the sense of having a conversation with God, why should we do that? And I want to give you one of the most important reasons in my heart. And it's because I believe that God values our communication with Him. In the book of Revelation, chapter 5, there's this scene that's taking place. And so you have the Lord who's on the throne, and there are elders who are gathered around at the throne. There's four living creatures and 24 elders. And so in this verse 8, if you look at this verse that I have on the screen for you, it says that when he had taken it, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. They said each one had a harp, and they were holding golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of God's people. I love the imagery that John uses in this verse, because it's not by accident that prayers are placed into gold bowls. Gold is meant to be this very precious, right? It's like I have this gold ring on my finger here. It's a precious metal, a reminder of the promise and the commitment, the covenant that I have that brings joy into my life with Leslie, my wife. Gold is this precious element that these prayers are so valuable that they're placed into this golden bowl. And it's John's intention that in this image that the ones who are reading it would understand that the prayers of the people of God are so valuable to God that they deserve to be placed in a golden bowl there off to the side where somebody would barely see it. No, according to John, to be placed right there as they're there at the throne, the Lamb, who is the Lord Jesus Christ. And these prayers are this fragrant incense that are rising up. And that makes a whole lot of sense when you kind of go back and you go back into the Pentateuch. You go back to the first five books of the Bible when the priests were making sacrifices for the people, and there would be a burnt offering, and the scriptures say that smoke that would rise up. It was a pleasing aroma to God. I get that image. Because when somebody's got a good barbecue going and that smoke is rising up, man, that it pleases my nostrils and my tummy. It makes me hungry. So if we're here celebrating God, because that's really what we do when we come together on these Sunday services, right? It's part of our discipleship pathway that we're celebrating God. And this is healthy for us to do this, that when we do, it's like, well, man, it is very fitting then that in our gathering, we would take time and we would pray together. Now, it may be me praying or somebody else praying. It doesn't really matter because we're sort of together and, right, we're supporting the prayers of each other. But we know that it pleases God, that He values those times. And when we approach the throne of grace with confidence and saying, Lord, I know that in the name of Jesus Christ, when I bring my prayers to You, that it pleases You. They are valuable to You. It is not a moment that you are feeling like, again, He's like, child, talk to me, talk to me, talk to me. Daddy wants to hear what you got to say. There's nothing you're going through I don't care about. There's nothing too trivial. Would you just come on, just dump it on me, pour it on me, right? It may be the fifth time today you've talked to me about this, but that's okay. Why? Because I value every single thing that you have to tell me, and I value every single thing that you're going through, and there's nothing that you can tell me or you can go through that, number one, I don't already know, number two, that I can't handle, and number three, that I'm not willing to go to bat for you for your good, because I love you and I value your life, and I've created you so that you could know the value I have for you. But you need to find that through my Son, Jesus Christ. And that's what that cross reminds us. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. And as we pray, we believe that God values in Christ the things that we have to say and to offer up to Him. It's a fragrant offering. I can promise you, God wants to remove some obstacles that are in your lives. He may not want to do it at the exact moment you'd like for it to be done, but He is a chain breaker and He is an obstacle remover. And I promise you that there are opportunities that God wants to put in front of you that you would walk right through and you would share Jesus in the world. And I promise you that there is wisdom that He wants to give to you. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives with all liberality and without finding fault. He will provide it to you. He just simply says, ask. Seek the wisdom. There are those that He wants to save. And if you would just pray to say, Lord God, I need You. I need Jesus. He will save. There are those that will find encouragement when they pray, because God wants to encourage. I find, you know, there is no better encourager than God. Think about that. There is nobody can encourage your spirit better than God. And nobody can restore you like God can restore you when you are broken. He values you. And He values what you have to say and what you're thinking and even what you're feeling. Because how many of you know what it's like to say, I have been hurting so bad, I haven't known what to say, but I just knew that I needed God, and I just sat there in my hurt and my pain, and my prayer was just my silence because I didn't even know what to say. Everybody else but me been in that kind of spot before? All right, you don't have to raise your hand. I'm pretty sure we just about all of us probably at some point have, or it might come. Just wait if you hadn't gotten there yet, and I'm sorry, but it'll at some point come. God says, even when you don't know what to say, the Holy Spirit knows. And the Holy Spirit lifts that prayer up before the Lord. And it's okay that you don't have words to pin exactly what you feel and what you see and what you can't comprehend all around you. It's okay. Because God knows that prayer. For He knows you. And the Spirit of God is presenting you before the Lord Jesus Christ. Whew! That's sermon number one. These are all connected, I promise. So prayer does more than that. And when we are praying together, one of the beautiful things that my experience has been is that prayer affirms our faith. When you get a time to be in a room with other people who are praying, and there they are, let's say they're all standing up. You can sit down, doesn't matter, but let's say they're all standing, and maybe see some, maybe have a hand raised, or they're just, you know, you just can tell that they're intent and that just focused on prayer, and you just, because nobody probably, you know, just opens up and looks around at other people when everybody else is praying. But just if you did, I've done that. I'll confess that. Sorry. But that time where you just look around and you see that you're not the only one. You see, I've made the right choice, right? I got it. I've made the right choice. So there, I'm not the only one who believes that this is going to take a movement of God. Like, we need God's help. That there are other people around me who are going, please, Lord Jesus, please. You've got to do something. Like, all of us are gathering together, or all of us to be able to recognize, thank You, Lord Jesus, for what You have done. It's like, oh, I'm not the only one that realizes that God has done great works in my life. Or I'm not the only one. And you can fill in the blank. We're not the only one who believes that God is the source and the supplier of our needs. It affirms our faith in who God is and what He has done and what He can do. That sense that, you know what? He really is worthy of being praised. Like, He really is the one who can be trusted. And I'm not alone in this. You know, when we sang the Lord's Our Father, right, which we call the Lord's Prayer, as is often the case, said most every prayer that I have ever heard or said, there is a particular word that we put at the end. And if you're smart, you look at the screen and you could say it exactly. What is that word? Amen. Amen is a word that means so be it, or I agree. When we say it together, we're saying the I personally, but collectively we're saying we agree. This is our prayer, Lord, that we give to You by faith. And there's something about that moment. It's, for me, it has been when I stand in a room of people, like being here with you guys, and we get done praying, and you just listen, and you hear all the folks around you saying, what word? Did you catch it? That feeling, that sense of knowing. This is the good and right thing to do. This is something that the people of God do. We pray, and together we say, this is how it ought to be, that God, You would honor this prayer, and You would be glorified through this prayer. Would You bless Your name through this prayer? Yeah. But it also, I think, grows us together. I'm going to tell a story. In 2004, I was ordained into pastoral ministry. And I got to tell you, it was in just outside, it was at Camp Chula Vista in Alabama. So it's just outskirts of Birmingham in the month of August at an outdoor pavilion, wearing a suit with shirt and tie. And I have pictures at home. And if you saw the picture, you would notice there's a nice sheen to your face in that picture, Andy. You're like, people pay good money for makeup like that. It's just sweat. It's not makeup. I can promise you that, right? And so I remember I'm there and it's so hot. And Leslie and I, our kids weren't born yet. And Drew was born. Oh, 2004. Yep, so 2003. He's a little guy. And she and I are at the kneelers. And to this day, I remember that feeling of just kneeling down. And I can just feel the sweat rolling down my back under my shirt. It's like, sanctify that sweat, Lord Jesus. Because I'm roasting here today. This is brutal. But I do remember that as pastors that anointed us and laid hands on us there as we were kneeling, accepting that calling, and they were affirming that calling, which is what ordination is. It's your peers in ministry gathering around saying, we affirm this calling God has on your life, and we support you. And I remember in that moment that in my heart, God affirmed that calling. And I knew I was in the right place at the right time. I was right where God needed and wanted me to be. Sweat and all, apparently. And I felt connected with those other pastors that stood around me. And a sense of saying, you're one of us, right? Like, we're in this thing together. We got you. And I love that moment. And having other church folks that were there at that camp meeting, because the ordination was, during the camp meeting, and standing up and gathering around too. And it just felt like such a sense of growing interconnected together with people that I didn't even really know that well. But it was happening. And there have been times where I have stood in a church service, or even before church service, and I have shared with folks in the church, that wonderful question, how are you doing today? And most time, what do we say? Oh, good, fine, great, doing well. And then the times where we're just not, you know, we can actually be honest and say, I'm not doing well today. It's okay. We can share our lives with each other. And so, and I try to do that, and sometimes better than others, but it was in that, I can remember times where I was struggling one reason or another. And I just like, hey, like it's, this is a rough day for me today. And there have been times where I can remember the first church I was at, the deacons gathering around and just praying for me, or people in the church, some of the leaders, lay leaders in the church is gathering around and just praying for me that morning. And I just went in, from going through that moment, felt that sense of just being connected, growing together. Prayer in that moment was this form of love that grew us together, deepened our bond together. And that's something that prayer does. You see, I believe when we're praying together, it's a way of caring for one another. Things happen in our lives that we wish we could undo, wish that we could fix for each other. I mean, oh my gosh, how the number of stories, right? I mean, think about, like, we know the things that we have gone through in our individual lives. And we're like, I wish if I could have stopped you for like that from happening in your life, so you didn't have to go through that pain, I would have gladly done that. Because I want, you know, I want the best for you. I want your well-being. But the reality is, you know we can't necessarily do that. We can't change those moments for each other. We would if we could, but we know most of the time we can't. And in our faith, we believe that God potentially can. That God can potentially knock down the wall. That God can deliver from the abuse. That God can deliver from the addiction. That God can bring healing where there is brokenness. That God can put the pieces together, right? Like, we believe God can do that because we believe, as Scripture says, He can do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all we could ever ask, think, or imagine. Why? Because He's God and we're not. There's no one like Him and there's no God but Him. And so we pray together, expressing our care for one another, that I can't change your pain and I can't stop it. But man, the best thing I know to do is to just present you before God and ask that God, by His mercy, would just heal, restore, give you rest and peace. He would just let you exhale for a moment and just, I can make it. James, in James chapter 5, you'll see the verses on the screen. I want to just share these two with you. James wrote in this New Testament book of wisdom, as it is, he says, is any one of you sick? He should call upon the elders of the church to pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. There is very easy to notice that the elders is plural. That it's this idea of, as a community, that we pray for one another, right? That we ask that God would bless each other when we are in need of the Lord. In Acts chapter 12, Peter was in jail. Big surprise. Peter was such a vocal follower of Jesus, and in his, you know, like for Jesus, folks had enough. And so they put him in prison. And I love this as part of the story in Acts 12, 5. It says, so Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. And I would have you notice, think about it, there's the context of this situation. Okay. So like Peter's sitting in prison. He's got the other disciples and followers of Jesus who love him and they care about him. Now watch the connection to what I already said before. They know that they can't get him out of prison. They're not going to do a jailbreak. You know, it's like he's there. There's literally, we can't go fix this for Peter. We cannot change his predicament. So the best thing we know to do, because we care about Peter and we love him and we want his well-being and we need his help in leading us forward, we're just going to pray for the man. The best way we can care for him is to just pray for him. And if you read Acts 12, you'll see that they prayed, God heard, God answered, and God set Peter free. I was in Battle Creek, Michigan. I wasn't in jail. I'm not making that kind of connection, okay? So you can exhale. I was actually had the opportunity to teach a class with Institute for Servant Leadership, who was a group, Pennsylvania, Michigan, Indiana, whatever. And so we were had a weekend, and I was scheduled to teach a session. I think it was on being emotionally healthy leader. And so I was committed and I prepped and I was ready to go. And then a couple of days before we were scheduled, one of my brothers, his infant, his baby died. Absolutely heartbreaking. And I wanted to go down to Alabama to go be with my brother and minister, but also just be their support as a brother, you know? But I'd committed to this. There were people that were, it was one of those things there really wasn't a backup, you know? So it's like, you know, somebody's like, I have to go do this. They're like, so I go. And I remember traveling down there. And as I'm getting close to Battle Creek, I was living in Michigan at the time. And as I'm getting close to Battle Creek, I'm just a prayer. Because I'm torn. Like I don't want to be there, but I want to be there. And I want it to be a good teaching session. And I want God to be glorified in it. But I didn't really feel like my heart was in it. Because I felt like my heart was in another state. You know, literally in the state of Alabama. So I got there. And my time to teach had come. And so I went to the class where I was at. And so, the students are there, just other, you know, pastors and lay leaders and churches. And so they're in there. And I'm just welcoming them. And I was like, this is what I'm going through. And I tell you what I love, and I'll always remember this, is that class stopped me. And there was a lady who was sitting in that classroom, and I remember this, and she stopped me, and she said, would it be okay if we just gathered around you and we prayed for you before we even get started? I was like, yeah, that'd be awesome. And they did. So the prayer ends, they sit down, and we go through the class. And I give God the glory for this. The director of ISL, after the class was done, he had listened to some of it, because it makes his way around. And he says, Andy, he said, what happened today? And so I told him, you know, this had happened, da-da-da, this is what the class had prayed, and I was teaching. He's like, what happened in your class? Because that was like you, but it wasn't you. He said, I've heard you teach before, and I know that wasn't all you. And I didn't know how to take that. I knew, I think, what he meant, but I knew what he meant. Because I remembered, as I was going through that class, my mind was focused. I was able to recall the material. I was able to teach it well. You know, sometimes when you do something well and you know, you're like, I did this well. You know, like it just kind of fires, clicks, right? All cylinders kind of thing. Like that was happening. But really, my emotions in my head when I started weren't in that space to really be able to do that kind of presentation. So there had to be something else that brought it all together. And so I said, I think that was God, man. Holy Spirit. Because that was me, but it wasn't me, and I get it. And it was truly just a very enjoyable, rich experience in that moment that I fully believe was the result of God's people praying together. And God cared about what we were praying for that day. And in that prayer, it affirmed our faith that it is good and right to call on God when we are broken and hurting and we need help. And it grew us together as a group that day, as in that class, because we stopped to pray together. And there wasn't any other moment in that class that showed me that they cared for me more than when they said, "Can we pray for you? You're here to pour into us, but we want to pray for you." And that meant the world to me. Praying is powerful. And praying is caring. So that guest that you invited to come and to church with you on a Sunday, they may hear us praying together and wonder, why are they doing that? Does it really matter that much to be talking out loud together like that and to be saying amen so much? My answer to that is yes. We really believe it does matter a whole lot. Because when we pray, we believe that God values our prayers because He loves us. We believe that we're caring for one another's well-being as we pray together. We believe that these prayers, they affirm our faith together. That it is right and good to believe in the power of God through Christ. And we share that faith together. And it makes us stronger together. And we believe that it grows us closer together as a family. And we're the family of God. And we're a New Hope family. And I love that. Praying together grows us together. And that's part of why we pray when we come together on Sunday mornings. And it's my hope that we never stop praying together. And we don't get too busy to pray. We don't get too distracted to pray. That we don't lose heart in praying. We just keep on praying and keep on praying. Because it's right and good. And for all the other reasons I've shared this morning. Let's pray as an act of our worship together. For that's truly what it is. It's an act of worship. Would you stand with me this morning? For those of you worshiping with us online today, I want to ask you, would you join us in this moment as we're going to pray? And I'm going to ask all of us that are here today, would you take maybe just one thing in your life that you really like God to help you with? You need God's grace. You need His healing. You need Him to give you strength. You need wisdom. You need to have the pieces put back together, if you will, in your life. What is that one thing maybe that's on your heart today? I want to ask if you would to just tell God about it, because He values what you have to say. For those of you here as well, let's do that same thing, okay? Just pick something today. Let's lift it up to the Lord. And then I'll pray for us, and our team's going to sing. God, You tell us, if My people who are called by My name will humble themselves and pray, they'll seek My face with a heart turned towards You, that You will hear. You will move through our prayers. And today I'm asking that the prayers that You've heard from Your church lifted up to You, that You do exactly what You promise. You would answer the prayers for Your glory, for our good. Would You continue to lead us onward, giving us strength to endure, a patient spirit to wait upon You when maybe we want You to answer our prayers quicker than You're desiring to, and a persevering spirit that doesn't quit. Then all things we would give thanks and pray and trust You. Lord, help us to keep trusting You day in and day out. We know that You are faithful and You value what we have to say, for You love us and we are blessed to know Your love, Lord. Amen.